listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have comedian, actress, writer, Priya Mehta. How are you, Priya?
How's it going? Thank you so much for having me.
I have to ask, because there's a very famous Mehta, Zubin Mehta. Any relation by chance? You never know.
No relation, but again, you never know. I have somehow related.
My distant relative. He's a super famous classical conductor. He's one of the conductors for the Three Tenors concert. So, like, I came from classical music. So as soon as I saw your last name, I'm like, you never know. There could be some random connection. So I always have to ask. But you hail from Jersey. And this is really interesting to me. You were in the finance world, a very secure career, a very good Indian girl career. And then you said, you know what? I don't want to do this. This is not. And you know what? I love and respect that about you so much, because you're a firecracker. You have so much like passion and life and exuberance. I mean it. And you know what? You're not meant for finance. So, I mean, tell me what that leap was like, because you and I are both from India and we know how important education and security is for Indian families, especially parents. Tell me what that transition was like, and tell me what was the moment of Zen that made you want to be a full-time artist?
Yeah, you know, first of all, thank you for that intro. That was amazing. Thank you for hyping me up. So I was in finance for 10 years, and here's the thing. A part of me from when I was very, very young knew that I was just different and I was meant for more. But at the same time, like, obviously being a South Asian, having Indian parents, I had to prove to them and to myself that I could do it. So I sucked it up, because I was like, you know what, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. But like, I kind of just followed what you're supposed to do, right? So I got a job in finance, kind of worked my way up, and it was like forecasting, budgeting. It wasn't anything too intense. So I did have a work-life balance, where at the same time, while I did it, I started to dive into other things like improv and stand-up comedy, and kind of just getting behind a mic in different situations. And I'm kind of glad it worked out, because even in my 20s, you know, having a secure job, I got to travel the world and I got to be there for all my friends and family and develop this amazing community of people that are always now going to have my back when it's my time. Like, I have those people with real connections.
Right.
And it was just an interesting process, because I feel like you can't just take a blindly jump. Like, I started diving into it while I had my finance job. And then I was in Atlanta for a bit. And then I actually moved to LA during COVID while I had a finance job. But then I got furloughed from that during COVID.
Crazy. That's all those things are like monumental, huge shifts. And you're like, yeah, and then this happened. And then this tidal wave happened. And yeah, okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
No. So during that time, I was like, okay, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. I am going to take a break. And I decided to start my own podcast. That had been on my mind for a really long time.
Right.
And I started taking the steps of, like, I went to a podcast conference. I learned what it took. I started networking. But I always had this idea. And so I was like, you know what? While I have this time off, let me pour everything into, and I did everything. I created it. I hosted it. I wrote it. I did the social media. I was editing, produced it, all on my own.
Let's stop for a second, because one of those jobs is enough. You know what I mean? Like one of those is enough to take on and have a lot to just kind of focus on. The fact that you did all of that is ridiculous. I mean, on all levels of that, it's amazing. It's amazing. But it is also ridiculous because it's like you're spending so much time trying to get good at so many things and it's so difficult. You know what I mean? So hats off to you, because that is just the editing alone. When you said editing, I'm like, oh my God, I have so much respect for you just with that. But all the other things too, it's huge.
Here's the thing. I don't think I was a pro at any of those things. It took me longer than usual, but I was like, oh, I'm still going to do it, right? I'm still going to try. But it's interesting because while I had my finance job, I started to get invited to a lot of weddings. And not only that, but like get asked to speak, do skits, dance. And so throughout that, I started learning how to edit mixes and like voiceovers and put that into a mix. And so when it came to creating my podcast, I was like, oh, cool. There are things that like I kind of know how to do that I did earlier than now. Skills are coming to use.
Well, what's cool is like they're all different skill sets and you're seeing how they can all be used to one in one direction. That's huge. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. And so I genuinely enjoyed it. It was short lived. It's not like still my podcast isn't still going on, but I put it out. It was going running for like 3 months. I think I put out nine or 10 episodes. I think it was nine. And it's so funny. I was reading an article that was like, the average amount of podcasts fail. People usually put up an average of like 8-9 and then it dies. And I was like, cool, I'm part of
that. That's me. That's me.
I made it. But it taught me so much. It taught me how to be comfortable with my own voice. I think it was like a beginning step into like what I'm doing now, where I was interviewing people. I brought people on. You know, I was writing everything out. I learned how to have conversations and like ask questions. You know what I mean? Just like, and be behind a camera and get comfortable with my own voice. Cause that's one thing that took me so, it's still hard to like even listen to myself or watch myself.
Yeah, I call it answering machine syndrome. Cause it's like, as soon as you hear yourself, you're like, what? That's how I sound? That's crazy. You know, cause you hear yourself on your inner ear. So you're not gonna hear it the same way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it was great. But then here's the thing. So at the end of it, like I think this was the beginning of 2021, I got scared and I was like, you know what? Let me take a finance job while doing all of this on the side. And let me try to balance it all because I need money. So I took another finance job. And that was the one that did it for me, where the day I started, I was like, this was a huge mistake. And so I wrote it out for 6 months and then I fully quit. This was literally like, I think May of 2021, quit. And I was like, you know what? I don't really have a plan, but this is just not it. And I was trying to finance it some other way, but I can't be doing this. I can't be behind a desk all day long. I need to be
You're a firecracker. Like you can't put a firecracker behind a desk and think that that's going to make, you know, crazy. Hold on. Sam is saying we're getting static. So
yeah, I was going to say that. It's getting a little staticky.
I'm going to switch to my phone real quick. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, take your time.
This happens because my computer sometimes is on its way out. So give me 2 seconds and I'm going to click on again. Hold on. How's that? Is that good?
Oh, that's good. That's great.
Okay. My computer is like on its way out, but both my phone and my computer are like maxed with sessions. So like, it's just anytime it has to do like a simple function, it's like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. So I'm just like trying to hold out until it just like is like, it's done. Anyways, back to what you were saying. So you were saying you were doing this job. What's amazing about that is, you know, I know the artist mind like so well. The fact that you stuck with that for 6 months is crazy to me, because I don't think I could walk into a cubicle and for 10 minutes, like know that I can. So the amount of patience you had to reserve just to kind of like get through that 6 months. What is amazing is that was like the liftoff point for you. Like, no matter what it is that I'm doing, it's not this. And that sometimes finding what you want out of life means finding what you don't want. So I love that you like
took that chance and you kind of you went through that, you know, experience. Now it's like, okay, I'm gonna embrace the artistic side, and you got a lot of fire in you. There's no way that a finance job or a cubicle can sustain or even handle who you are. So I love that you took this leap and you were just like, let's do this. What drew you to stand-up comedy? Was it acting first? Was it improv? Was it, what kind of like steered you in the direction that you are now? And tell me how that's obviously keep, like it's still growing and evolving.
So I actually started with improv. I was taking improv classes. I think I took up to like level 3. And with improv, it's interesting because, like, you know, I felt like I wasn't thriving in it. I still was like active on stage and I could be funny, but I like to be rehearsed, right? Like even when I like to write jokes that are going to make you think a little bit, or like, you know, circle back, or like everything that's kind of like written out and calculated. I love doing that. But improv gave me good stage exposure, right? You got like, I developed a good stage presence. I learned how to work with other people's energies. And so I took that and I was like, okay, I'm glad I did this. What was it? I was asked to, around like the time improv was kind of ending, and I was like, what's the next thing? I got asked to roast my cousin at his engagement party.
That's awesome.
I turned it into this like 10-minute bit. I made it funny and cheesy and creative. And it was in LA at the time, and I was living in Atlanta. And so, and he has like, he has a lot of huge circle of friends, a lot of artists. He's an artist himself. And so a lot of people came up to me afterwards and they were like, oh my God, like, what do you do? Do you have a special? Are you on YouTube? What are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm in finance. They were like, you're in finance. And so many people came up to me that, no, I hadn't met them before. And they were like, listen, you need to leave finance. You need to move to LA and you need to start doing stand-up comedy. And I listened to them. I actually took that because I'm like, a lot of us sometimes don't even listen to what other people are actually. The people that don't, right? People that know you are going to be like supportive of this stuff, but people that don't, I pay attention to that because I'm like, hold on, you don't even like know who I am. Literally the day after that, I Googled stand-up classes Atlanta, and I started taking a stand-up class where every week I would meet. It was a very small class for like 3 hours, and our instructor taught us how to write jokes and just like the basics of like what, because for me, I'm like, everything you want to learn about, take a class. You have to take a class.
Right. That's the Indian way. You're like, I need to be educated on this.
But it's also like, as an adult, I think people are scared to try different things and be bad at them at first. And you have to learn that it's okay if you're not going to be the best at it. You don't even have to be the best at anything. You don't have to.
You have to fail.
Actor, you have to just like, again, build from the ground up. And so I took that class, and then at the end, there's like a showcase where you just like do a show and this and that. I actually got sick. I couldn't do it, but there was a show that was around, literally right around the same time, a comedy show happening in Atlanta. And one of my friends was the promoter, and I was like, can I open? Right. Cause I had no experience. I was like, can I just open for the show? And that was my first time. This is like 2019, and I loved it. And it went very well. And I was like, wow. Like I think that was like the first time where I was like, oh my God, I am meant to be on a stage and to entertain. Like this is that gave me the most adrenaline just doing that. And I was like, I need to hold on to this and keep going.
Well, you know, and the other thing too, like in doing this show, I have that much more respect for stand-up comedians because my original co-host, he's a stand-up comedian. He was like telling me how your rehearsal is the performance. And I think that's what is so amazing about comedians. Like they're performing and just basically whittling down material until it feels right. And then like the big thing, every comedian that's been on here said this, once you get the joke right, you're already on to the next thing and you're already whittling something else. So it's like the enjoyment that you actually have where the joke works is very small, like in the sense of like, okay, this joke works. I need something else to whittle and get to that point. So tell me what that process was like for you, because I just find it super remarkable. Me being a musician, you rehearse with a group of guys in a room and you're like, okay, this is going to sound good. We're going to do this. We know the fireworks, when it's going to happen. But when you perform, you know, as a comedian, you don't really, you can't say, oh, this joke's going to kill. You just have to go up there and just see if it kills. You know what I mean? So tell me what that process is like for you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Sometimes I like test my stories or jokes out on my friends and my family. Like I'll just do a little, I don't say it's like, oh, for material. I'll just kind of like tell a story, do this and like see what hits, see what doesn't, and see how people
read. That's smart.
I also, and since this was my first time, I sent voice memos to my stand-up comedy instructor at the time to be like, hey, these are like the jokes that I want to make. Like, what do you think? And she kind of helped me even like write them or like write a punchline out. Like she helped me with that. And I was so grateful because again, like it was my first time. So I had no idea. And it was interesting because for me, I think when I get nervous, I talk really, really fast. And at the end of the show, people are like, make sure you pause after every joke because give people like the chance to laugh because you're funny. And I didn't know if anything was funny or not. I just kept going and going so people would laugh, but then they would like miss the beginning of the next joke. But it turned out very well, but I did have to rehearse a lot. Like for me, it's something that like I have to write it all out and like figure out how I'm going to say things, right? Like, am I going to make a certain expression?
I'm sure it changes too, show to show, and it'll change a little bit, you know? You'll find little like windows where you're like, oh, I didn't address this like this, or maybe it's a different segue, or maybe it's some guy in the front that's wearing a jacket that makes something trigger that, you know, you kind of pivot. Like, that's what's remarkable. It's live art in all the best ways. And I also, so do you memorize, like, do you memorize something that you write out, or do you kind of have like, okay, I know I'm going to go to the cell phone joke. Okay, I know I'm going to go to this dirty joke here. Okay, I know I'm going to go to something family related here. Like, what's your kind of like, how do you know, what's your table of contents?
Yeah, so I write everything that I kind of want to say out. Obviously, there's going to be things that come off the fly for sure. But again, I love like the way Hasan Minhaj does his comedy, right? Where it's like, it's smart, it's witty, it makes you think a little bit. He'll bring something back from the beginning, like he'll pull it back in the end. And I'm a huge fan of just like good writing. And so for me, I need to like see what that looks like and write it all out and then say it and like wait, no, should I like add this in or should I add this in? Because sometimes comedians, when they like say things or they whisper things like under their breath, you think it's like on the fly, but sometimes it's pre-rehearsed in there. And I feel like I'm still new at this, right? So I'm gonna do all that. I think later, like in my later performances, I had like a joke in mind where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna say that joke, and I already knew exactly what I was gonna say and how I was gonna say it. But in the beginning, I do just like to write it out so I can visually kind of see like, okay, I'm telling a story, am I rambling too much, like do I need to add a punchline in here, is the audience gonna be engaged, like is it, it's because I know I have good energy, but also like you want to maintain like the jokes. And so that balance, it's like some people just, you know, can do it off the fly and that's amazing, but for me, I definitely like to write it all out, rehearse it, and then figure out like how I'm going to say things and if I want to like, you know, act something out, right? Or like really into it. That's something that I think about.
Well, I'm gonna give you a huge compliment because I've known you for a couple months now. You are super animated and you are more natural as a comedian than a lot of comedians. And I say that because it's like, I've had conversations with you and it's like, you just have like this vitality in you and this kind of like sense of timing and just fire that sometimes, and you know this, because I know you've hung out with a lot of comedians, as have I. Some comedians, they're not that fun to hang around sometimes because they can be super dark. Whereas like, you're not that way. You're like really in the moment. You're always very present. I think anything that's really fantastically artistic is always in the present. You have to stay present. And I think it's something that you're just naturally, you either have it or you don't, and you have it. You definitely have it. Because I've had conversations with you where it's like, I'm like, she's making me laugh. And it's like, we're just having a conversation about nothing. You know what I mean? So
that means so much. That really
no,
does.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And I've had a lot of comedians on this show, and I've had a lot of, you know, just sense of, you know, experience with comedians. I've done comedy shows, me being the music, and it's like there's something that they either have or they don't, and a lot of it is that just sense of like, kind of, can you captivate somebody in a conversation? It's really, that's what stand-up comedy is, because you're having the conversation with us, you just have a microphone and we become the audience. So you naturally have that, but there had to be a shift for you that you're like, this is exactly what I want to do. You said there was a moment where it made you feel so alive. Was it the the presence of it, like you were in the moment? Was it the fact that you were getting kind of feedback and laughter and like it made you feel good? Because that sound to me is the greatest sound. Laughing is the greatest sound on the planet. So what was it for you that made you feel so alive in that moment?
I think for me, it goes beyond even just comedy. I think for me, I always have like three objectives I have with anyone that I meet is I want to make them smile at least once. I want to make them laugh and I want to make them feel better about themselves. I want them to leave.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet. First of all, that's just so sweet.
A little bit better about themselves. And if I can provide that energy, that is what I'm going to do. So with comedy, like I genuinely do love making people laugh. And then also like, you know, making fun of myself to like, let people know that we're all kind of in this together and life is really hard and we should be able to laugh through it. But I also tend to like throw something in at the end that's kind of like a little bit encouraging or helpful where it's like, listen, like you matter, even though you feel like sometimes you may not, you're here for a reason. And if I can do this, then so can you. But whatever passion or purpose or whatever you want to do that makes you happy, just do that. But I think like when I just think about what I want to bring out in somebody, it goes beyond laughter. And I just think even me behind a mic in any situation, whether it's like emceeing a wedding or giving a speech or being on a podcast or, you know, doing stand up, you have that power in that moment to control the energy in the room. And if you can make that energy memorable and amazing and positive, then why not? And that is what
And it's also what's cool. It's like you're harnessing energy. It's like you have a lot of energy and it was given to you for a reason. And so when you can walk into a room and let's say it's just like this calm lake and you can actually create waves and control like the tide of the room, that is everything. I mean, that is something that you, like I said, you either have it or you don't. You definitely have it. I remember I was on a train in Europe like 20 years ago, right after I graduated school. And I wrote this little quote. I wrote, "Only laughter can numb all the pains of the world." And it's the truth to me. It's good. It's good. Right?
Right? I love that. I love
and it's the absolute truth. So like I have such an affinity to comedians because you are doing that. It's like you are healing people. You are just like showing them how to be at the front of a new way of thinking, a new perspective. You're taking the unremarkable and making it remarkable because it's like there are things that we just do in the day to day. And this is what I love about comedians, that they will show us in a family reflection, or they'll show us in, you know, pointing out something that they do that we all do. And I just love that. I've seen your comedy. I haven't seen it live and I'm going to see it live, I promise. But it's like I've watched a bunch of your clips and you just have this natural gift of like getting that perspective, showcasing it. Tell me what it's like when you're just coming up with a joke. Are you sitting in a state of writing and you're starting to write something that you think is going to be funny? Are you sitting in your car and you see something as an observer and you're like, that is funny? What is that thing that makes you capture lightning in a bottle?
First of all, oh my God, thank you so much. I really enjoy being hyped up right now. Your energy is amazing. And I also want to say thank you for always just showing up for everyone in the community. Like I've known you for months.
I tried.
And you just have this positive energy and you bring out like the best in people. So I do want to say thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're awesome.
Writing, I think, is a process. And there are different moments throughout the day where I do think of things or I observe things where I'm like, oh, that's funny. And I literally write it down on my phone. Like I'll be with a group of friends and someone will say something hilarious. And in the moment, I'm like, hey, I'm writing this down, by the way. And they were like, oh yeah, put it in your skin. I was like, write it in there. So there's no problems with it afterwards. But I'm like, oh, that's funny. And I'm literally like, I will take a moment to write it down in my phone because I think throughout, like you're going to get random moments of inspiration and humor.
Right.
Okay. But I do like, sometimes I will like sit by myself and be like, okay, I'm on stage, like a show's coming up. What is it? Right. Like, what do I want to say? What story do I want to tell? Like, what are the current events that's going on? Like all of these things. And I'm like, cause I do have the jokes and I have the content. Right. More about like, all right, how am I going to channel it and shorten it? And you know what I mean? And like spit it out and entertain people. But it is a process. So like I do take moments for just writing, like by myself, where I'm like, I am rehearsing things, and like I'll literally say right. something, and I'm like, is that funny? I don't know. And then I'll test it out on like my friends. Like I'll send my friends like voice memos of like an embarrassing dating story, right? And I'll see the reactions. If like they're like, oh my God, that was hilarious. Or some people are like, is this going to be in your stand-up? And I'm like, should it be? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, cool.
But that's amazing. You have that you have that group of people that can give you that feedback. Most people don't have that. So it's awesome that you have that kind of like you have that punching bag of like, does this work or does this not? You know what I mean?
Well, also, I mean, a lot of my friends are married. So I'm like that one single friend that they're like, please entertain us. Like, tell us all the crazy stories. I don't know if it's that or if I'm actually funny. No idea. But I do take their input, and I'm lucky that people are like willing to listen because to my crazy ass shit, you know.
No, you definitely have a lot of comedic energy and timing, and like that's the thing, like a lot of people don't realize musicians and comedians, we're right here because everything's about timing. And it's like when you read timing on that level, when you know like when something's gonna hit, it's an art. Just that alone, it's like knowing when to strike and knowing how to like cultivate that is everything. And it's like, you know, what I said earlier about harnessing energy, it takes a mighty soul to captivate a number of souls in a room. You know what I mean? So it's like, first of all, it's courageous. I don't care what anybody says. For anybody to walk up on the stage, I don't care if it's an open mic, I don't care if it's in front of 5 people, in front of 10,000 people, it doesn't matter. I actually tell a lot of people, I'm like, walking into a stage where there's thousands of people, that's easy. It's the walking on stage where there's 7 people and trying to like get into that place where you're like, I need to just deliver no matter what. That is the hardest. You know what I mean? Because like I've played shows where there's thousands of people. And it's like, you're like, hello, Milwaukee. And you just hear this. But it's the small shows where you can see everybody's faces where it's different. You know what I mean? So as a comedian, when you're up there and you usually have good rooms, people want to laugh. They want to just have a good time. Do you focus in on certain audience members where you're like, okay, I know something's hitting if this person's laughing, or I know when a room feels a certain way, what's your barometer to kind of like get to that timing place? Because that's what fascinates me about comedians, like knowing the timing of things. Tell me what that's like for you.
Yeah. So first of all, it is definitely more intimidating doing comedy in a smaller room than a bigger room. But I think I actually like try not to focus on anyone because I'm just so focused. But it's also interesting because I want to work on crowd work. I think crowd work is a skill that really tell, like you can really tell if someone can do really good crowd work, right? That comedic timing that's on the spot is extremely impressive because that is on the fly, right? That is like, hey, are you naturally funny? Because like this is not rehearsed. And for me, I'm like, I'm just so scared I'm going to say something so offensive that I'm like, you know what?
Maybe no, you can't. You can't be like that. You have to be like, just like, who cares? That's it.
I have to definitely work on that. That is something that I need to, because like, I love, you know, like Matt Rife and Nimish Patel, like who would just like, do amazing, amazing crowd work. I need to get there. And so I do need to start trying. I actually have a show coming up in like a week and a half. And so I think I am going to.
Well, let's tell everybody where it is. Where is your show in a week and a half?
Okay. So yes, it's Wednesday, July 19th at Arth Barn Kitchen in Culver City.
And you know, I'm going to Smokey Robinson, so I'm missing your show. But I hope all of our listeners go and check you out. Do you have a time that you're hitting, or are you emceeing the night, right?
I'm hosting it. Yes, I'm hosting it. It's South Asian Comedy Night, all South Asian comedians, and it's at an Indian place. So they have like, you can order some food even before and during the show, get some drinks. Doors open at 8, and then the show starts at 9. And so I think
that's awesome.
5 comedians plus me, and then I'm hosting, and I'm also going to do a set as well.
So do you kind of find like bits are easier for you now, and that crowd work is like the uphill struggle a little bit, just like being in the moment improvising? Is that like kind of like, but you want to do that just to be more on the fly and less on paper, on script, basically?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like for me, it's kind of like, what if I, you know, let's say I pick on a couple and I'm like, oh, how long you guys been together? And they say a few years. And then I like ask something inappropriate about like their sex life. I'm just kind of like, I don't know if like that may offend somebody, or that like the line that I teeter on, like, I don't know. It's horrifying to me, but at the same time, I am going to try it, you know? Like, you have
Well, I love that because it's like you're compassionate. So you're like compassionate towards the people and people around you. And that's just like a testament to your loving spirit. But also, as an artist, you cannot care. You have to just be who gives a shit about what anybody thinks and be that bold. Because it's like, if there's anything you're going to teach an audience or teach any person in the audience, it's that to live courageously. It's like live unforgivingly. So it's like, I think you're already there. I think it's just like, you're sweet. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're like, I don't want to piss anybody off. But it goes back to that thing that you said, you want to just like, you know, lighten the load of somebody and that's, you know, maybe going through something, but that's what comedians do. I think you continue, you know, to just always shine that way. So let's play one of your clips. This is one of your clips of you doing stand-up, and here's Priya's stand-up comedy.
Put your hands together for Priya Miller. Walks home. Excuse me, sir. We Uber now? Get with the program. But yeah, no, I moved to LA during COVID, and nobody told me that the dating scene here was awful. It is terrible. I still have yet to find someone who's like, dating in LA is amazing. And if you feel that way, find me after the show, because I love to have whatever drugs you're on. The first guy I dated here was a physical trainer, which you think would be good for my body, but he would wake up really early in the morning, and I know, I get it, I respect LA, 5 a.m. hustle, great. He would text me, good morning, at 3:50 a.m. on Saturday. Homie, that's not the morning, that's the middle of the night. You know what I'm doing at 3:50 a.m.? I'm getting back home from a crazy night, inhaling mass amounts of Taco Bell and twerking in the living room of my room. That's what I'm doing. I am not ready. Dana sees me. I also tried talking to this guy in business school, but I could never keep a track of where he was. Like, I don't know if you guys are, whoever is in business school, I haven't been, but I don't know if you're in school or you're just on a 2-year vacation. And I know we got some people here from the Anger Fam Anderson thing. Woo! I still, every time I couldn't keep a track of them, they're like, oh, we're in Miami. Whoop, we're in Hawaii. Whoop, we're in Japan. And I'm like, what are you guys learning in business school? I am so curious. But yeah, got some single people here tonight. I feel for the single people during COVID. I went through a drought sexually for 2 years, which is crazy. I mean, come on, look at me. I'm kind of cute. And I was kind of like, well, it's interesting because I didn't realize how common this was until I started talking about it with other people, and all the other girls are like, ooh, yeah, me too. Same here, me too. And I totally support the Me Too movement that happened being a woman. But there should have been a Me Too movement for the girls who weren't being touched at all. Like, nobody was looking after us. There were couples who were too busy trying to figure out if they were going to survive COVID. You got the old people who were scared and hiding.
And then when the vaccine came out, I was one of those basic bitches that was like, I'm vaxxed and waxed and ready to go. Happy October 2021. No, I got zero ass. It was talking a different way. It was dry girl summer. I couldn't even watch Bridgerton season one. Dating's been interesting. I feel like you have to explain a lot. Like, I always have to explain a lot. I have weird food allergies. So, I'm allergic to raw carrots, apple skin, pine nuts, tree nuts, cherries. The weirdest allergies. And it's like, I don't need an EpiPen, but, like, my mouth gets irritated, my throat, my lips. And one of my friends, the doctor, was like, oh, no, there's a term for it. It's called oral allergies. You have oral allergies. And I was like, cool, but I'm never going to use that term unless I want to pop lock myself. I'm on a date, and the waitress is like, oh, any allergies? And I'm like, just oral. It's almost like to gauge the range of humor, like in a room, like how nasty people are. Like I was talking to one of my friend's moms, and I was like, yeah, you know, I can't do walnuts, pecans, or almonds, but I can do peanuts, so I can handle some kind of nut. She laughed so hard, and I was like, Auntie, you so nasty, I love it. And her husband's on the side, just like. No, I love Indian parents. I love my parents. They're so amazing. That being said, though, Indian people have zero filter. They will say whatever they want, whenever they want. And my dad falls into this category. So my dad's a huge foodie. He loves all types of Indian food. But what he does is, wherever we are, whether it be a restaurant or someone's house, he'll grade the meal in front of the chef. Like a savage. He'll be like, oh, this is very good. I enjoyed myself. B minus. And in Indian culture, that's not an A. That's a fail. He's like, don't worry. I'm helping them get better. And to be fair, my mom's cooking has gotten better and better. I don't know if it's that or her just angry to be in the kitchen like, I'll show you, be my niece. So I see a lot of couples here. Happy for you guys. You know, some of my best friends, they actually just recently had a baby girl. And I was talking to them, and I was like, so you're a daddy now. Do you like being called daddy? And he was like, please God, no. Which I still don't understand that concept, right, of like the sexual, like, oh, daddy, zaddy. Which, like, in other languages, it sounds really cool, right? Like in Spanish, it's like, hey, papi, papi chulo, mamacita. Can you imagine an Indian dude went to his girlfriend and he goes, hey, mommy? Look at her today, mommy! Like, no woman is ever giving a mommy that way. But yeah, no, I just wanted to end on a kind of cheesy note, but thank you all so, so much for coming out and supporting not just me, but all the comedians here tonight. Everyone is here. This can change the trajectory for anyone pursuing anything. So I'm saying, yo, this is LA. Do what you love. Life is short. Your passions are waiting for your courage to catch up. So thank you guys so much.
That was so awesome. So awesome. And what a great message to leave on. Like that was heartfelt. Tell me where that kind of came from, because I know you're trying to, you know, heal people that may be going through the same thing that you were going through. Because you know there's a lot of pressure in life, especially in an Indian household, to just succeed on the level of expectations. And then when you break free from that, first of all, it's super liberating. I know this because I remember telling my parents, I don't want to do pre-med. I'm going to do music. By the way, it's not going to be classical music. I'm going to be in a rock band. And they were like, what? So I totally understand that. But tell me where that place comes from that you kind of want to send that message to people.
I think this goes back to my podcast, which is called Inhale Courage, Exhale Fear. And it's essentially a self-empowering podcast where I just encourage people to try different things, because my whole view is like, you never know what you're good at until you just try it at least once. Yes. And yeah. I do give my parents a lot of credit. When I was growing up, they had me try everything. I was doing basketball and soccer and softball and tennis and guitar and piano and dance and all of these things. And I don't really feel like I was good at any of those things. Like maybe a little bit of like dance, but still I got better, you know, later on, but
I've seen you dance in videos. You can dance. You can definitely blur.
I can, but I think, you know, just in the beginning, like I'm glad I tried those things, but I think I really like that mentality of like, you just never know what you could be good at. It's okay to fail. It's okay to not be good at things, but just give it a shot, because you just, honestly, you never know. And I feel like as I'm discovering all these passions of mine, I want other people to be on this ride with me, because it really is about like digging deep and figuring out what really makes you truly happy and taking the time to actually do that. I don't think people do that. I think they get too wrapped up in what they think they're supposed to be doing in everyday life that they forget to just savor these small little moments and find the small things. And so
I got chills. Yeah, I mean, and we live in this like Instagram age where it's like you want everything to be filtered and perfect. And like life is not filtered and perfect. It's like rough around the edges, and it's ugly sometimes, and it hurts sometimes, and it's sometimes going to be beautiful and joyful and full of adventure. And I love that you have that spirit. You must be well traveled, or, you know, like there's certain things about your spirit that just lends itself to just being that adventurous. Did you kind of like gain that from doing these things and kind of not being good and then trying something else? Because it's a huge leap to jump from the finance world into being an actress and comedian, and you're doing it. And it's like, I have mad respect for it, because it's like not many people even get the courage to actually do it. They think it, and then they're like, oh yeah, you know, I could do that, but they don't do it, you know? So there's when you walk through the fire and you walk the line, that is to me the truest sense of being an artist. Doesn't matter who's there. It's just the fact that you're out there doing it. And I have so much respect for you for that. So do you think it was because of these experiences that helped shape you to kind of like be willing to try comedy?
It was, I think, a combination of everything, but I think for me, I have to give credit to my parents, and especially my dad, who he always knows how to make any situation, find the humor in any situation.
Right.
And, you know, I've learned that in life, there's always going to be highs and lows, and more lows than highs. And you just have to learn how to manage those lows, right? It's all about the lens that you see everything in, your perspective, your mentality. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of it takes work to get there, to be like, you know what, whatever life throws at me, everything's going to be okay. And there's always a solution to every problem, but you just have to be willing to work at it and accept yourself for who you are and figure out like, okay, what is it? And if you want to take a different direction, that's okay. But I think throughout this whole journey, all of like the different things and decisions I've done are little steps that I'm taking to whatever it may be in the future, but it's all in alignment with me and myself and my purpose and my passion. And so it could be improv or stand up or starting a podcast or getting into acting, but I do think eventually everything does come in alignment with what you really want to do. And it's never too late to go on this journey. I feel like, oh my God, your 30s, everything, you should have everything figured out by now. And I literally honestly still feel like I'm just getting started, right? Like I'm brand new, even though I've been doing this, it still seems very new to me. And I do think that it is, again, it is about perspective and like all the things that I'm doing, even though they are a big deal, I see them still as small steps into whatever the future holds for you, because I have a vision. You have to dream. I have a dream of like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
And it, again, it's like, I don't even know what exactly that is. I just see myself on a stage in front of people. I don't know if it's humor. I don't know if it's going to be inspirational. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I see myself just like in the limelight, entertaining behind a camera. And now I'm finally taking steps and trying different things and figuring out what it is that, you know, I want to do and how I want to get there.
I think it's all of it. I think all of those things you're great at. And I think, you know, what, look, one thing I always tell artists, it's like, you're a light. Priya, you're a light. And like, one of the things that happens when you're a light is you're going to be surrounded by darkness. You're going to have things, you know, people, whatever it is, circumstances that are going to be dark and not fun to deal with. And it's testing your light. It's like, the more that you can kind of like get through those moments, the stronger your light is. And like, that's what's going to guide people. That's what's going to be what people kind of look to you for. And I think you kind of have all those things. You can host a wedding and then flip it to being a comedian. And then in that moment, also be inspirational. And in that moment, heal people and also just be a comforting presence. I mean, that's all the things. It's like, to me, I think a great artist is really a great person is about just like letting you be the happiest that you can be. It's like, whatever, how you get there, it just has to be that, because then you're not projecting shit on people. You're projecting light because you're shining and you're like believing in whatever you're doing. So you're doing it. You're already walking that, you know, that you're walking the line, you're doing it. So I think a hard thing is staying true to just always being that beacon of light, which you are. So tell me like what it is when the comedy gives you, as far as, because anything artistic is a therapeutic thing. Like, a lot of people think I play guitar because I just want to be in front of people. It's not that. It's like, guitar gets me through dark times, and I'm sure comedy gets you through dark times, whether it's you're watching it or you're engaging in it or you're actually performing it. So tell me what comedy means to you as an artist in that therapeutic sense.
Laughter is the best medicine. And again, I think it's like more about how you can control the energy in the room, create a new energy, and shed light on dark situations.
Right.
I think comedy challenges me, and I always want to keep challenging myself, which is why like I don't get up on stage as often as I should be. I'm still working at it.
That's okay.
I think that, again, getting up in front of people and really feeling the most alive that I could possibly feel helps me build confidence and courage to then keep doing more, right? Because even for me, I tell people it's never about the fame and the followers and all of that, because that all will come, but don't focus on that. Focus on really working on your craft, figuring out what value you can really bring to somebody's life, and just keep doing that, because that is part of the journey. It's all about the journey, not the destination. That'll come.
Right.
And even in moments of like, even moments of recognition or when you are performing, they're actually very short if you think about it, right? Like if you're giving a speech, if you're on a show, if you're performing, it's, you know, an hour, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is. But all of you're remembering all of what it took to get there, all that hard work, all the errors, all the trials, everything that you went through to get there. That's cool. But like, focus on that and remember that, because you need to enjoy that process, because a lot of life is kind of figuring it out. And then of course you're going to have your moments, but that figuring it out, like that's what it's all about. And I think,
absolutely,
I genuinely am loving that process. Even if sometimes I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing and my life is in shambles and it's so chaotic. And I have all these moments of like mental breakdowns, because I'm like, hold on,
it's a natural part of the process. You're doing something that most people don't have the security of having, you know, the luxury of security doing. So of course it's going to be like that, but that's like living on the edge. I feel like that's living. When you're like on the edge where it can go either way, that's living. Most people, that's security, they ain't living. I mean, it's secure, it's very safe, but that's not it. That's not where life really wants you to be, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, success isn't going to come overnight, right? Like, you have to be able to put in the work and
yeah.
that, but at the same time, like, yeah, it's all a learning process, and it's just, it's people think that by a certain age, you need to have it figured out, and that's one of the things I always tell people. It is never too late to just yep. try, right? Tomorrow, you could realize that you want to go take a class and do something new and different, and it's just people associate age a lot with, like, things that limit them, and I feel like I'm in my 30s. I'm thriving. I'm, like, the most alive that I've ever felt in my life.
Absolutely.
It's all about your perspective and your mentality on things, too. Where it's like, I have an interest and I'm going to go and try that out. And you know what? You don't have to tell anybody. You can just do it for you. You don't have to post about it. You don't have to do that. You don't have to share. Maybe when you get to that point, great. But initially, just honestly, do things that feed your soul.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like this is an unlikely source of inspiration. But, you know, I love artists or people that are like entrepreneurs and that take that like risk. And, you know, Colonel Sanders, he didn't really start his Kentucky Fried Chicken business until he was like in his 60s or 70s. Like, you just never know when life is going to give you that opportunity. I have a great story I want to share with you just in regards to this. So Picasso was sitting at a cafe, okay? And he's doing a little doodle on a napkin or just like, you know, on a piece of paper. And somebody walks up to him like, oh, my God, you're Pablo Picasso. And he's like, hey, what's going on? And the guy's like watching him, you know, do a little doodle. And Picasso's like in his 80s at this point. And the guy's like, oh, my God, you know, can I have that? And he signs it. And he says, yeah, that'll be $100,000. And the guy's like, but it only took you 5 minutes to do. He said, but it took me a lifetime to learn how to do it.
Whoa.
Right? Whoa. Isn't that good? It's I so good. So that's art. It's like live your life, live your art. Don't worry about any like barometers of what this is or what society wants it to be. You are a light. You are a firecracker. You are great at what you do. I can't wait to see you live. Where can people find you if they want to find your comedy online?
So my Instagram is PriPriMetha. You find me on TikTok, Priya.Metha. I have my own YouTube channel that I need to update. And,
that's all right. Do you know what the YouTube channel is?
I believe it's PMetha88.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, no, honestly, I want to say thank you so much for having me
You're
on.
You're awesome.
You are an amazing host. And I do want to say, when I saw you perform for the first time, I think I told you this, but like watching art in its truest form gives me the most joy, and watching people truly enjoy what they're doing. You are having the time of your life on stage.
I love it. Thank you.
Your shows, and you are also a light. So thank you so much for having me.
You are awesome. Look at all this love. It's so great. You know, it meant a lot to see you there too, because, you know, I was telling Rajiv, it's like, for years, I've never had a lot of Indians, you know, supporting what I do. And you being an artist and just being Indian, too, it meant a lot to see you there. So thank you for being at the Whiskey. It was a monumental show, especially in my 40s. Like, you know, it's like as you get older doing this, it becomes like more of a grind. And it's like it's just hard. So it meant a lot to see you there. And also tell people again where people can find you at this show that you're doing in Culver City. Give them all the details.
Yes, it is at Arth Bar and Kitchen in Culver City, Wednesday, July 19th. Doors open at 8 and the show starts at 9.
Awesome. Priya, I started this show because I wanted it to be artists on artists and showcase careers. So we're going to actually have you come back in about 9 or 10 months. So just know the whole point of this show is to showcase an artist's career and showcase their life as an artist. And I just want nothing but great things for you. And thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. This is just the first of many. Just so you know, we're going to document your career as a comedian, artist, actress, writer, extraordinary.
Whoa, baby.
That's because what we do. That's what we do, right?
That's what we do. We make it moves.
That's right. Well, I wish you nothing but the best. I will see you soon at the next entertainment meetup that we have. And check out Priya's comedy. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Priya, we wish you all the best. Peace and love, everybody. All right, we out.
You're You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.